Welcome to Impact, where the left and the right stake a claim and defend the territory.
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of this station, its owners, its advertisers, or its listeners.
And now, here is Impact, where the search for the truth is sometimes stranger than fiction, where the discussion sheds a bright light on the facts or the myths. Get ready to join us with your questions and your comments. The team is ready, and now, Impact. Well, we welcome you back, our listeners, on this May the 27th of 2009, and our guests today on Impact will continue to be for the next few minutes anyway. Mr. Terry Shoemaker, who happens to be the superintendent of the Wasatch School District, and Blake Baird, who is the newly elected member of the Wasatch School District Board. So we welcome them all back. And Bob, when we left, I think I interrupted you, which I have a tendency to do periodically. And did you have a question that you were...
Well, I thought you had a question, but if you don't, I certainly have one. Well,
go ahead.
And the next question...
Never let it be said that I interrupted you.
Which you just did again.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, we have a lot of fun with that. The $750,000 for the third gym, little theater, and that sort of stuff. And four classrooms. Okay. I was going to throw that out. I got it written down. Tell me, if you could, or tell our listeners, where does that money come from and how do you allocate it and how does that all work?
Well, it comes from our capital fund and from interest on bond, bond premiums, the bond. It comes from a variety of areas, the bond itself. That's where those monies come from that can only be used for construction or building improvements.
So it's already included in the capital projects fund for the new high school or for whatever capital project you want to do. Is that correct? It's already been allocated to this in a big lump sum.
It's in a category of funds for which those are categories of funds for which those kinds of projects can be included. So when those projects were added by the board, you know, when we made the decision to change the configuration and we added 350 kids to the new high school, then the decision was also made to add that third gym, the four classrooms, and finish the little theater. Previous to that time, those things were all going to be just shelled in. So the board made the decision. The decision was made at that time, and then that stuff was added to the budget. You know, remember, our fiscal year goes from July 1 to June 30th. And when those decisions were made, then you see what Mr. Johansson has the capability of doing is then making adjustments in the budget in a current year as well as preparing a budget for a new fiscal year. So we have at least three years of budgets where capital funds can be used. We can adjust from one place, put it in another place, but as Blake also said, we had significant interest earned, and I told you this before in a previous meeting we had here on the radio station. Significant interest earned on the bond itself that's also helped pay for some of these additional costs. And we sold the bonds at a premium, which also provides additional money to the school district for those kinds of things. So we've had sufficient funds to do this. I know it seems difficult for people to understand, but when you spread these things over 3 years or a longer period of time, then you make adjustments in the budget to make those kinds of things happen in the category of budgets for which you do capital projects, and that's what Mr. Baird was talking about.
Now, you mentioned about interest earned on the bonds that you hadn't used already. Now, does that money have to go back into capital projects because you're earning the money on a capital bond? Or does that go into a general fund, or how does that
allocated? The money has been used in past for capital types of projects, and the board elected to continue to do that.
But it isn't required by law if you're getting an interest on money that you have in a bank account that it has to go into a capital project.
You'll have to ask Mr. Johansson that question. I do not know the answer to that question.
Okay.
All
right.
I know we've used it in the past for capital proceeds.
Okay. Then we'll...
And that would make sense because that's where it came from.
Yeah, to a certain extent, but any money that you have in the bank, any place, you always have funding that's there you're putting someplace which you're drawing interest on, I would certainly hope. Any dollar that you have is drawing some sort of an interest somewhere.
That's correct.
And that goes back into whatever fund it is and not necessarily in capital projects. But
there are some adjustments that we can make. That I do know because we've made those.
You know, we've opened the door just a little bit about the high school because of the money. Excuse me. Is the high school going to be done on time?
Yes.
Are we going to be able to move into it in time for the new year?
Right now, the schedule and the updates that we're receiving is that the high school will be completed the end of July, and we'll be using the month of August to get moved in. Actually, we'll start moving some things in as soon as school's out in some of the areas that are completed. But we will be using the month of August to finalize getting everything moved in, and then school starts in September, the first part of September.
But it will be done in time. That leads me to my question, because I had two questions related to that. One of them, with the downturn, would it have been a wise move to not make the move and the changes of all the schools with all of the kids this year and sort of hold that off for a year? Would that have been a savings of significant value for the school district? If we had just said, oh, we're not going to move the kids from around the schools and change names or do anything, we're just going to leave status quo, and we'll work at it next year, depending on how things are. Because I'm under the impression that the school district had to go out and hire some new bus drivers and buy some new buses and reconfigure for routes and do a few things because of the move. And I'm wondering, with the money that you've had to set aside to cover the move as we make the move back and forth, could we have just said that's for another time? Without a change the coming year in any way?
You know, you're asking me a question as a newly elected school board member, that those decisions and discussions were made with a previous board.
Well, then just shift over one and we'll talk to Mr. Shoemaker and ask him the same question.
I really can't respond to those type of things because I wasn't involved in
I was just wondering because I read about it and I kept thinking, you know, we're talking about the downturn. Could we have just let that ride? Terry, could we have let that ride, or was there some impending thing that we had to do?
Well, there wasn't anything impending. The board made the decision that they felt like it was still the best time to do it.
And I
still concur with that. I think, you know, as we are bidding current, what I would call smaller projects to fix up the current junior high school, you know, what we are getting is very good value for that right now. And my opinion is, and the board concurred at the time, is that, you know, while we're making this adjustment, we're already moving one grade anyway. I mean, we're already moving the high school from a place to a place. Failure to do this would also mean we would have to also begin having a conversation about bonding again for other schools. The reason we are making this adjustment, and it's better done, in my opinion, sooner than later, is to prevent us from having to go back to the public again and say, we need another elementary school. We need another school for this or that. I mean, our elementary schools, except for Old Mill, but the other three elementary schools were already beginning to reach their capacities again. And so what we needed to do was pull out, you know, a grade level from each of those schools and put the kids in a place where we had capacity to deal with that. The decision to do that is a cost-saving decision that delays the need for bonding, in my opinion, for several years. And so I think the board looked at that at the time and said, look, rather than save this small amount here, let's go ahead and make this decision. We started with the decision. We're going to continue with the decision. We assume that the newly elected board, whoever they will continue with it, and they have at this point, continue with that and preparing for that. That seems to be the best value for the taxpayers over time, and that's been, I believe, the reason why things have proceeded the way they have.
Well, your board president sat right where you're sitting and told us that if they move the kids and move them around and change the grades, that we would probably be 3 or 4, maybe as high as 5 years out before we'd have to do anything as far as a physical plant for another school or anything, which sounds great to me. But then I'm also thinking, gosh, could we have waited 1 year? Would that have changed the conviction of the planets just by waiting a year? I don't know.
Well, I don't know either. That's not the decision that was made. I mean, we could probably, you know, armchair quarterback this after the fact for a long time, but right now the plan that's proceeding seems to make sense.
Okay. All right. Well, I have one last question related to the school, the high school particularly. No, I've got more than that, but I've got one that I wanted to ask because you've opened the door to it. I have heard and I have received emails personally and phone calls at my home, as well as we've received phone calls on our phones that you can make contact with the Impact program. There is a rumor floating around that in order to finish the high school on a timely manner so that we can get the kids in come the new school season, that there was a request for an acceleration clause. Is that the case? Did the contractor come back and say, I don't know if we're going to finish and we need an acceleration clause to finish? And if that's the case, so what did that cost us in order to ensure that? Is there an acceleration contract out there with the construction company related to the high school so that it gets finished on time?
As far as I know on the board, no. That is completely false.
Okay. Terry, is that the same? Is that your understanding?
I concur with Mr. Barrett's.
So there is no acceleration clause involved with the high school at all?
No.
It was always
no.
intended to be done in time for the new school season as we open the door in September.
It was always intended to be done. Now, we've encouraged them, obviously, to get done as soon as possible. But we're not paying additional monies to encourage them to do that. That's really your question.
Yeah.
The answer is I'm not aware that we're doing that at all.
Okay. That answers my question. Bob, did you?
I just a question back to the third gym and necessity, therefore. Do all of high school students attend PE classes? I mean, is that a requirement for everybody in high school, all 1,200 and some odd students, so they all have a PE class?
The high school students are required, off the top of my head, I believe it's either 1.5 or 2 credits of PE that they have to complete. In their 4-year time.
Okay, mm-hmm. So at any given time, maybe only a quarter or a third of the students would be involved in a PE class?
Not necessarily in our high school. There seems to be a lot more than that.
I mean, there could be, but the requirement is.
Our kids tend to take more PE is the answer to your question.
Okay, all right. But my question is on the necessity for having a third gym versus 2 gyms. Could we not have gotten by with 2 gyms for years or so with 1,200 students in the school, 1,250, whatever there is?
Could we have? I guess you could make anything work. Did the board feel it was important to have that? And again, it's the previous board, but I would support it and concur with it. Is it the best scenario to have that third gym? They must have felt that was important and decided to pass on it. It's just like you can make anything work if you have to, but what's best for the students? What's best for the students? I think that's where the decision was made.
But I mean, the question I'm asking is that the – and you obviously haven't revisited it since you've been aboard.
Right, Bob, but I guess the decision with moving the ninth grade and an additional 350 students into the high school, they felt that the need was there for another gym to meet that capacity and to meet that need, as opposed to just two gyms and only sophomore, junior, and seniors that were in there. Now we have a ninth grade of bringing those additional students. The need was felt that they needed it. So
it just seems to me that with the the economic problems that you're having, that wasn't really a necessity or a really big requirement to have done, seeing as though you have 2 complete gyms, you have a weight room, you have a wrestling room, you have a batting cage or batting practice thing inside, you have a cheer and dance room, you have student weight rooms, and you got quite a bit of facilities for physical education. And with 1,200 students, if you just take the number of classroom hours that would be needed, it seems like you had more than enough facilities to do that. I'm just questioning why that decision was made.
The decision was made because there was a need. There's a constant demand for additional gyms anyway in this community. But the decision was made because the board felt at the time that we needed the additional space there. They clearly debated, should we do the 4 classrooms, the little theater, and the additional gym. They clearly debated that issue at the time. They looked at the scenarios of what we were going to have versus what, if we had those things, it would mean for the school and the kinds of offerings that we would be able to provide. And based on looking at the data at the time, the Board of Education, who gets to cast the vote, they listen to the administration, they listen to me, they also listen to Mr. Sweat and the staff over there, and they made the decision to go ahead and finish those facilities. You know, the high school experience, one could debate, should we have athletics or not in it? In this community, and I've said this before on this station, in this community, the high school experience and the athletic experience and the CTE, the shop experiences, all of those kinds of things are very significant portion of what our community has wanted to see offered in our school district. Hence, the space associated with that has been placed in those facilities, both in the shops, in the CTE classroom areas, as well as in the athletic areas. I can also assure our public that the classroom spaces that have been built there are sufficient for our needs and sufficient for us to grow into over time. Those are the things that we felt like were the responsible thing to do with the monies that have been provided for this school and by this school district and by this community. So that's what we were trying to do, and hence the building was built the way it was.
No, I can understand all of that. And I mean, I can understand the desirability for athletics and a physical education. I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying we have this one item where we're going to say we're going to put in a third gymnasium, which was decided last year before the budget cuts came about. And now we have a situation where we had a budget cut, and it sounds like we are cutting back on a certain amount of teacher's aid and teachers, but we're still going ahead with building a third gymnasium, of which I don't know what the cost is.
But Bob, the monies spent for the project of an additional gym aren't monies that can be spent for teacher's aids.
This is the question that I was asking about the interest on the bond that you had. Because it was on a bond, it went into capital projects, and we're saying that may not have necessarily
been
true, but nobody really seems to be asking the question, could we have taken that money out and putting it into teachers' salaries and education type of thing rather than a third gymnasium? That's the question I'm asking.
A good question, and I guess my response, and then Terry will respond also. I think when those decisions were made, number one, I don't think anybody anticipated or knew that we had a $1.5 million budget cut coming down the road. And so to be fair to the people who were making the decisions back then, I don't think they knew that was coming. And so they made a decision based on what they felt was best for the students and what the community would like to see with the monies that we received for that high school. Now, Terry, go ahead.
And I can defend that decision all day long based on this principle alone. You hire teachers and teachers' aides typically on money that's what I would call is not soft money. Soft money is what is referred to as one-time types of funds. If you're going to hire an employee, you'd like to typically keep them sufficiently long enough, and hopefully they would want to stay sufficiently long enough to do that. What the legislature reduced were monies that were ongoing revenue funds. They were monies that were basically used to pay for salaries and benefits. They cut the quality teaching days. That was a benefit of additional days on the contract for teachers. They basically eliminated, reduced all of that budget. They also reduced the Social Security and retirement budget significantly. So those are ongoing revenue issues. And so the decisions to add a third gym or add additional capital, those are one-time kinds of expenditures. You pay for it, you're done with it, that kind of thing. It's not ongoing. The personnel costs, though, are ongoing, and therefore the budget reductions associated with those things or decisions to hire on the other side of that should be based on the fact you've got a revenue source to sustain it over time.
Okay, switching to a different subject, what's going on with the old high school and the sale thereof?
We are obviously have it for sale. We've heard criticism. Is this the best time to sell the high school? Why are we have it up for sale? Well, obviously we have it up for sale because we want to sell it. Is it the best time? I guess we'll see as we entertain offers and
have you had any off? Have you had any offers?
We haven't had any offers at this point, but we have talked with production companies that have talked about coming in and leasing part of the high school. We don't have anything on paper, any type of offer, anything at this point. But we're in discussions with other entities that I'm not at liberty right now to say.
So a lease arrangement might be something feasible for a short period of time?
You're
considering all offers.
We would look at all options. We would love not to have that building vacant. If we could bring in someone to lease it for a certain amount of time until we can sell it, that would be fantastic. Would we like to sell it first? Sure. That would be our first preference, is to sell it.
Well, you know, I was in the auditorium just the other night with the production. It'd be a shame to see that leave the community, even though we're going to have one in the new high school. That brings up one question I have. I actually have two questions. I lied. I thought one, but I actually have two. The one question I have is, when we were talking about the new high school being built, one of the things that came down, and I happened to look at my file the other night, and I have a little brochure that was printed up, and it talked about the new high school sort of being a community center type thing. Is that still the case? Is that still the thought processes of the district, that the new high school will be opened up to as many things as the old high school has been opened up to, or even more, where people can come in and use those facilities in community plays, those kind of things?
I would think, I guess my answer is yes. In concurrent with what we've been doing with the old high school, I think those type of programs would continue. I don't see any restrictions. The thing that's nice about the new high school is where the auditorium is. There's a separate entrance into that auditorium, so we can have a community event there
without having to go through the whole school.
Yeah, that has some value. The gymnasium is the same way, separate entrance into the gym. You can basically close off the rest of the high school and have the event in there. And so I foresee that we would want the community to use it as appropriate, and the same type of programs and costs associated with that would continue on.
Okay, one last question, and it's a question, and, you know, Terry is probably going to roll his eyes, and he's going to look at me and going to go with his hand and push it in his palm.
But again, Paul?
Again, Terry. But the bottom line of people asking questions is, with everything completed now, we're talking landscaping, we're talking land, we're talking the whole nine yards, what is the total price of the high school? What are we expected to pay as citizens? I mean, we know we got a bond that we got to pay, but there's also other funds that have been used to do certain things. And all the bottom line is, it all comes out of the taxpayers' pocket. So I guess the bottom line is, what is the bottom line for the high school that you could stand up and say, this is what it is? It's not going to be a dollar more, and it's not going to be a dollar less. What is it? Including all the change orders, including putting in the trees, the sidewalks, whatever. What's the bottom line?
Do we know what that bottom line is, Terry, until the contractors are off
well,
the
I
job?
Can tell you where it is right now. It's $67 million plus right now.
Okay.
Okay.
That's I'm asking. I don't want to get into a detail of how, but...
I didn't know how...
Yeah, but that's the question that we get all the time. What is the bottom line?
So, and let me finish that.
Okay.
That is obviously more than the $59.5 million for the bond, so the next question is, how are we obviously paying for that? Blake has answered that question. We've used the additional interest on monies we received. We've premium on the interest on the bond that we got. We've also used the capital facility budgets over the last three years to help take this. The board has no intention, I want to repeat this, no intention of going and asking the public for any additional monies in the form of tax increases or any of those kinds of things to pay for this high school. They've reiterated that repeatedly, and I want to make sure that that's also stated again here. I think
Well, that wasn't my question. My question was just
to finish
it. Yeah, just a black and white question.
I think we need to finish that because people do understand there's a difference there.
Well, and we've heard that people have said that we're going to come out and ask them for more tax dollars, and that's not the case.
Oh, I haven't heard that, but, you know, I guess different folks for different strokes or whatever. I mean, it depends on where you run and what circles you run into. I haven't heard that. Okay. The biggest question I've been hearing is, what just is the bottom line? What can you say and print on a piece of paper and say, this is the bottom line? Now, we're not worried about how it's paid for or anything else. Just the bottom line of where we're going to go with that. Because that thing, and you know, that gets me into a little something, too, that I wanted to touch base with you on, Blake. One of the things that we have in this, and I guess it comes from cities, it comes everywhere, but one of the problems we have is that different people talk. And whether you're talking as a member of the Board of Education or you're talking as Blake Barrett, a citizen, foremost in people's mind, you're talking as a member of the Board of Education. And so sometimes, I want to tell you, the reason why I asked this question about the high school, I've got five figures that I have heard from people who should know the answer. And they're all different. And so I'm saying, does anyone really know the answer? And that's why I'm asking, because I'm a patron of the district. I'm paying taxes for the school board. I have no problem at all paying my fair share for education of our kids in this community. But I would at least like to know if there's somebody out there that actually knows the bottom line, so that I'm not hearing all of these different things all the time when you ask the question. So that's my point. And so if you've got somebody who's going to be your spokesman, then let's have them here and let's let them be the spokesman and let's, you know, hear the figures, let's hear the information, let's hear what happened at the meetings, let's hear where the district is going, let's hear it from one source, and we can all be happy with that. That was my thought on that. Bob, anything last that you have?
No, I'd just like to thank both Terry and Blake for coming in. Really appreciate it. We shared some good information, learned some things, and I'd like to see it continue. I really would.
Yeah, well, glad to be here.
We appreciate the opportunity, and it's been pretty painless, I can say right now at this point.
Well,
but you know,
we want to make it painless, really.
We want to have good communication with the people in the community, Paul, and I think that we certainly can look at doing that. I can't speak for the whole board
on that. And we understand that. We understand that.
Something certainly that we will discuss and see what the Board of Education would like to do in moving forward at this point.
Last word for our superintendent, Terry Shoemaker. You got 1 minute, Terry. What would you like our listeners to know about the school district and what's happening?
Well, there's just a lot of wonderful things going on last night. I want to just say at this banquet we had, or not banquet, but this scholarship activity last night, $126,000 of local funds contributed towards scholarships through the foundation for Wasatch Community Foundation. A total of over $2 million worth of scholarships awarded last night. It was a wonderful evening. I was just grateful. We also honored Don and Elizabeth Ritchie, who have been helping us in the foundation and helping us on the education committee of the foundation last night. We look forward to these changes. The end of August, we're going to have a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new high school. We're so excited about that. We want to extend that invitation to today to everyone in the public to come and participate.
Bob, that means you're invited.
That means even Bob and Paul.
Wow.
Okay, so that means even those two. We look forward to having our community come in and enjoy this. We are celebrating the 100th year celebration for our high school, and that's also part of the same weekly type of celebration that particular week. And so all of this is kind of culminating, I think, in preparation for the start of the school year. We're finishing up all of these preparations this summer and moving in and making these changes. We're excited about these possibilities and look forward to our community being involved with these things.
All right. Gentlemen, we sure appreciate you being here. It's been a pleasure. Bob, we'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're going to be doing Craig Powell will be on talking a little bit about the special session they had.
And
we'll have our continuing program on the 5,000-year leap for the last half hour of the program.
And that'll be interesting, too. It may be a chance for you to talk to Mr. Powell about the $1.5 million that just vaporized.
we've had many conversations.
I bet you have. To our listeners, we appreciate you joining us with Impact today on KTMP 1340. Today is May the 27th. Get out and do something good for our community. We remind you, as we always do, that when you free fall through life, it is the impact that counts.